open your Bibles back up to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, as we continue walking through the spiritual armor. Today we'll be looking at the footwear of peace and the shield of faith. But for context, we're going to start back in verse 13 as we prepare to look at verses 15 and 16. So from the 13th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for these great words. Thank you for these commands and the hope that they have within them, and the promise that they are for us. Father, we pray and ask that you would illuminate our minds, that you would quicken our hearts, and that our spirits would be in tune with you this morning as we look at these words, as we look at the command for the gospel of peace and the shield of faith. Father, I pray that you would help us in all things, but especially to understand what your word is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if we look back at verse 15 and 16, let me read those. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. To begin with, in verse 15, he calls us to take up the readiness of the gospel of peace. And Paul uses this metaphor of the armor of a soldier having put on the footwear of the gospel of peace. And having done so, when we put on the footwear of the gospel of peace, it enables us to stand. As we mentioned last week, Paul says several times, stand, stand firm. And the shoes with which we wear are a critical component of being able to stand. And the shoes that the gospel provides, given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, is the gospel of peace. Readiness comes from the gospel of peace. But peace with whom? The gospel brings us peace with God and with others. However, the gospel of peace is to make peace with God and others, but not with the rulers, the authorities, nor the cosmic powers over this present darkness, as well as the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are not to make peace with them. We are at war with them. They are at war with us. They seek to destroy us. We fight back against their evil actions with the gospel of peace. Not surprising, as seems to be the case throughout the biblical history, God's plan is to do the opposite of what you would think you're supposed to do. God's plan, you would think, would be for us to be obedient to him, in which we are. But no, his plan is salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope of that salvation by his work on the cross and the shedding of his blood. You would think that God would conquer evil by coming forth as a powerful warrior, battled and ready for battle to conquer evil. But that's not what happened. God conquered evil. God conquered sin and death by coming as a man, humble and contrite, and dying on the cross. Dying defeated sin and death, not military victory. It is true that on the first time Jesus came to the earth, he came to make peace, peace with the gospel of his salvation. But there is a time coming where he will return as the mighty conquering warrior, and he will do so with a vast army from the heavenly host. Joshua met Christ as a pre-incarnate Christ just before they conquered and crossed over to take Jericho. He's walking out away from the camp, if you remember from the book of Joshua, and he sees this man standing in shiny armor. And he goes up to him and says, "Are you for us or for our enemy?" And do you remember the response? "Neither. But I am here as commander of the Lord of hosts." That is who our Savior is. That is who we follow. That is who leads us in battle against the evil forces and the darkness of this present age that seeks to constrict us and contain us into an ineffective group of soldiers. But we fight back against that with the gospel of peace. I know, that doesn't seem to make any sense. In our world today, you can't have peace until you've conquered. Well, in the spiritual way, that is still true. Jesus conquered sin and death, and he's coming again to take his people to be with him, as well as he's provided his Spirit to live within us and to grow us into the maturity of the persons he has called us to be. He is a conquering king even today. And we do not go out into this battle by ourselves. We go out into this battle walking with Christ Jesus. If we were to step out on our own and try to get ahead of Christ, we would take the onslaught of the enemy and we would be pushed back, if not knocked down. However, when we stay with Jesus, following his commands and orders for us and how we are to live out our lives, then walking with him, we will be victorious over the powers of sin and darkness in the kingdom of darkness. On this idea of peace, let's turn to Isaiah 52, verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" Here we see that even in the Old Testament, over 700 years before Christ came, we have the command and the joy of bringing the good news. Our Savior was called to bring the good news of salvation even before he was born, 700 years earlier, as Isaiah spoke those words. Jesus brought those words into being and to fulfillment through his death on the cross and God sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within us when we put our faith in Christ Jesus. And as evidence of what I'm saying to you, Paul references Isaiah 52:7 in Romans chapter 10. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Starting reading with verse 14, "How then will they call on him in whom they have never believed?" Referring to Paul saying that faith in Christ means calling upon him and confessing him with their mouth? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. By Paul referencing this verse from Isaiah 52:7, he's showing that the gospel must be carried forth, this gospel of peace. This shows that the believers are to carry the message of peace into the kingdom of darkness. What does it look like for us to carry the gospel of peace into the kingdom of darkness? It's very simple. It may not be easy to execute, but it is a very simple thought and idea. When we leave this place and we step out into the world around us, into the places where there are unbelievers who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we bring this hope of the gospel out with us into their lives. And in doing so, we are battling the kingdom of darkness by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are, in essence, on a prisoner rescue mission. Our goal, through the power of Christ and the power of His Word and the working of the Holy Spirit, is to set prisoners who've been taken prisoner by the lies spoken through the devil himself in the kingdom of darkness, lies that they have believed about themselves and about Christ Jesus, to speak the truth to them and speak the hope of the gospel to them so that they may believe and be set free from the chains of bondage to sin and death. That's the simple message. That's the simple command from Christ to carry the readiness of the gospel of peace out into fighting against the kingdom of darkness. As I mentioned, it's a simple idea, but it's difficult to execute. If it's difficult to execute because Satan will not easily give up that which he has claimed and taken hold of. So what do I mean by that? I mean that once Satan has gotten his grip around someone's heart, mind, and soul, and has got them believing the lies that they can't be saved, that God is a bad God, he's not a good God, that he's vengeful, not loving, that they can get to heaven by their own means, when all of those lies are caught and believed within their heart, mind, and soul, they are enslaved by the devil to sin and death. We come with the gospel of peace, preaching to them and telling the truth to them that God is love, that he is true, he's a vengeful God, but he's also a loving God, that he has provided the hope of Christ to make peace between man and God, and that he has overcome the powers of sin and death. And as anyone who believes in him and will confess him with their mouth that he is Lord will have eternal life. That's the message we take out. It's also the message that we keep reminding ourselves. Every time we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, we are reminding ourselves that we are people of peace and that we have made peace with God through the blood of Jesus. What a glorious and beautiful God we have that he has given us peace with him through the provision of Jesus Christ. I thank God that he has made peace with me through the provision of Jesus. And I praise God that he has made peace with you through the provision of Jesus and your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Now let's look at verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts or flaming arrows of the evil one. To take up the shield of faith in all circumstances is the command. You can underline or circle that word in verse 16, the second word of the verse, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. It will extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And what are flaming darts? What are they? What is it that the shield of faith protects us from in those fiery darts and flaming arrows? Temptation to sin. Accusations. Betrayal by others. Hardships, both physical, emotional, and spiritual, and any lies we believe about ourselves or God. That's what taking up the shield of faith will protect us from, as well as many others. Temptation to sin. To me, the temptation to sin means that it's just the simple draw of you can have it better if you disobey God. If you do this, if you want this, and I know you want it, the devil says. If you want this, and I know you want it, then just disobey God. That will make you happy. If he was really wanting to make you happy, he wouldn't have denied it from you. So he doesn't love you. That's the argument that the kingdom of darkness makes to us. And we must first defeat that argument, defeat the temptation to sin with the shield of faith. Faith in Christ Jesus and his work on the cross. Faith and belief that God is good and what he has provided for us is what is best for us. The fiery darts and the flaming arrows that our shield of faith extinguishes are always lies from the kingdom of darkness. Satan himself started out very simply, and it never changes. I mentioned this last week. The very first lie he ever told in the Garden of Eden is the same lie he tries to tell you and I today. Did God really say? He tries to get us to question the Word of God and the truth that he has given to us through his Word. We stand against that lie by taking up the shield of faith and remembering the truth that we have buckled around our waist. Flaming arrows, lies from the devil, are extinguished by the right protective equipment. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ and has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For, or because, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Belief in Jesus is the Son of God is how and what our faith is built upon, and we have overcome the world including the kingdom of darkness, by our faith. The second dart that I mentioned were accusations. We've all been aware of the accusations made against us that are false. Sometimes the accusations have truth to them, and when they do, we must take that truth and meditate upon it and pray and ask the Lord how He would have us respond to the truth in this accusation that we've received. But when it comes to Satan, his accusations are always false accusations. His accusations go something like this: you aren't really saved. Look at what you just did. That's not a child of God. You aren't one of them. We sin against God. We make the mistake either by a sin of omission or commission. And Satan immediately starts to attack us with the lie that we are not children of God because we have sinned against Him. But what is the truth that we counteract that lie with? It is the truth that we are children of God. Yes, we disobeyed Him, but we, by the power of the Spirit, choose to repent, to confess our sin, and turn away from it, and return back to God, who is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. That truth sets us free from the false accusation that Satan makes against us. The third one that I mentioned, the fiery darts, is betrayal by others. When we have someone who is very close to us, who betrays us, we experience that very deep emotional pain. However, Jesus knows our deep emotional pain because He was betrayed by someone very close to Him. He understands that pain. And Jesus is also our example when we are betrayed by others. Jesus did not lash out to Judas. Jesus did not call Judas names. Jesus did not return with false accusations against him. Jesus remained silent against Judas's betrayal, except for his pleas for him not to do it before he made the betrayal. So also, we can be silent when we are betrayed by others. And by be silent, I don't mean that we take that pain and push it down deep in our bodies and our souls and keep it suppressed. No, we openly confess to our brothers and sisters the deep pain we are feeling by someone's betrayal so that they can pray for us, they can encourage us with the truth of the gospel and the hope of salvation, and the remembrance that we can forgive them just as Christ Jesus forgave us. And by forgiving, we are set free from the root of bitterness and the temptation for revenge. The other flaming arrow that I mentioned are hardships, both physical, emotional, and spiritual. We all face hardships every day. In one of these three categories, you are facing a hardship of some kind: physical, emotional, or spiritual. The temptation is to say, this is too much, I can't do it. This, I just have to give in to whatever I think will give me relief and happiness again. When we have physical hardships, the temptation is to believe that our hope for deliverance from the physical hardship is modern medicine, and that will save us, putting our faith and our hope in it. God has given modern medicine and pharmacology as a means of His grace to help provide for us in our need of physical hardship. But our hope and the source of our deliverance from physical hardship has not changed. It is always the Lord Jesus and our faith in Him and our trust in our Father to carry us through our physical hardships. As I often remind you, remember Romans 8:28-29-30. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes, so that for the purpose of being conformed into the image of Christ. That admonition I just gave to you is also true when we're facing emotional hardships. When our heart is broken because of something that happened as a consequence of sin and death in this world, and our hearts ache, the temptation is to turn to some physical means, some physical vice, to take away the pain in our hearts. That lie from Satan will not give us happiness and peace. It may give us relief for a short period of time, but that pain comes back, and it is not solved by the vice that we turn to. It is only solved by turning to Jesus and saying, as Peter did on the water, "Lord Jesus, help me. Lord, save me." Walk with me. This is the cry of our hearts when we're in emotional pain. Lord, walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And then the spiritual hardships. We all experience those as well. Spiritual hardships come in the form of a period of dryness when we are not feeling our Holy Spirit connection to Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and in fact to the Holy Spirit itself. We feel spiritually dry and empty. The temptation is to try and do it by force, by the will of our own spirit. I will reconnect with God the Father. Well, it is true that we do need to take actions to reconnect with the Father, but trying to do it out of the strength of our own spirit will fail, and we will be even more disconnected than we were before we started in our own strength. As is often the case when we are spiritually struggling, the response that brings us closer to Christ is praise and worship, singing to Him, giving glory to Him, opens the hardened heart that we have developed. And it leads to the truth of the Word and the reconnecting by the Spirit with our Father and with our Savior. The last flaming arrow that I mentioned are the lies that we believe. I mentioned the lies that the unbelievers have come to believe in through the lies of Satan. But he tells lies to us as well, and we believe those lies sometimes. Lies like God doesn't really love us either. Lies like He's left us all alone by ourselves to face whatever hardship we are looking into and walking through. Those lies enslave us once again. We were freed from the power of darkness. We were freed from the chains of sin and death. by our faith in Christ and our confession in Him as Lord and Savior. But when we start to believe those lies that He doesn't love us or that He's left us all alone, we put ourselves back into the chains of sin and darkness. We fight those lies with the shield of faith, the promise that He does love us and that He has chosen us as His beloved people and as His children, whom He loves deeply by His love displayed on the cross. The Lord is our shield. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to be reading from verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heavens and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, Abram, So shall your offspring be. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The Lord is our shield. We are children of Abraham. We are members of that offspring of his that are as numberless as the stars. That is his promise. That is the truth with which we stand upon when we fight the lies of the kingdom of darkness. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy 33. We're going to look at verse 29 of Deuteronomy 33. Here in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, Moses is on his way to his death, and he gives his final blessing to the people of Israel. And we read in verse 29, Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. The Lord is our shield, and when we take up his shield and walk forward with him, following the calling he's placed on our lives, and doing what he's commanded us to do, we will tread on the back of the forces of darkness. And remember what Paul said at the beginning of this chapter. We do not battle against flesh and blood. We will not trample upon the backs of human beings with the gospel of peace. We trample upon the evil forces and the cosmic powers that fight the gospel of peace. Then lastly, let's look at Psalm 3. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. David wrote Psalm 3 when he was fleeing from Absalom after Absalom's insurrection against David. And David said these words in response to this fleeing from Absalom. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. When we take up the shield of faith, we are taking up the faith that the Lord is our shield, and that when we cry out to him, he will answer us. Because he loves us. And he loves us so much that he gave his son to give us freedom from our sin and death. And if he loves us that much, he loves us enough to answer us when we cry out to him. Protection from attack is an expression of the Lord's love and care for his people. When he protects us from attack, he is expressing his love towards us. And he has given us the shield of faith as part of our protection against him. It is part of the protective equipment he has provided to us. Faith, trust, or confidence in God's loving care is the effective defense protection that will keep believers safe from attack. Behind the shield of faith, we are steadfast and can stand firm against anything. Pray with me. O Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you have given us this spiritual armor. Thank you, Father, for the shield of faith. I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen all of our faith, that we would grow into maturity in you by the working of the Holy Spirit, by studying the Word of God, and by meditating on your love for us. And I pray that as we grow in the faith, our example to others, our peace that we proclaim through the gospel of the shoes of peace, will lead to victory over the kingdom of darkness. And we pray it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.